Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use. I'm your host, Ann Baldwin. And I just want to, I don't know if we should do a disclaimer, but maybe we should do a disclaimer because we're talking about what shouldn't be a sensitive subject, but unfortunately, it is. So it's a bit of a mystery, but not for long, because on the show today, I am so grateful to welcome Mike Craycraft. And Mike is a testicular cancer survivor, and he's also the founder of the Testicular Cancer Society. And his real job is he's a clinical pharmacist. So, Mike, thanks for being on the program. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I had to kind of set the stage because, you know, people are a little sensitive to the subject that we're going to talk about today, but you know, they shouldn't be. So why don't we start with, it says here that you are a testicular cancer survivor. So what's that all about? What happened?
Sure. I was diagnosed in 2008 with stage one seminoma, a type of testicular cancer. So luckily I caught it early and was able to be monitored. And so far, so good. Haven't had any relapses and really kind of an easier impact when you think of cancer.
So how old are you now?
I'm now 51, so I was diagnosed when I was 33.
You know, and you're not the only one, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today is trying to, you know, we talk about breast cancer awareness. We talk about all of these other things that we should be paying attention to when it comes to our bodies. But young men especially just don't pay close enough attention. And unfortunately, I've just recently had a personal experience with that, and that I lost my nephew. Who was diagnosed at 28 and lost him at 29, Jake Marcella. And we'll talk more about that. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because you have taken, and congratulations on getting through this, but you've taken that now and you've kind of made this your life's mission. Why?
Well, at the time of my diagnosis, there weren't very many resources available for testicular cancer patients. And what resources were there were hard to find. So, excuse me. Given my medical background and my survivor experience, I thought, well, I'm kind of in a unique position to change that. And if I could create an organization which was kind of the hub of a wheel and bring people in and then point them to where the resources exist, but then also listen to them and figure out what else do they need that doesn't exist and how can we create that. So that's what I went about doing.
Right. And you continue to do that now. So you go out and you also speak to school groups, and you need to be speaking to more school groups, and you need to be speaking to basketball teams and professional football teams, and everybody needs this message. What is it that you talk to young men about that could maybe help bring some of these horrible statistics down?
Well, I think the main thing is just being aware of your testicles. You know, I don't think it's far-fetched that, you know, young men realize they have testicles, but they've never really felt them and know exactly what they feel like. And then when they have an issue, they don't think that it could be cancer. Now, testicular cancer is the leading cause of cancer in guys 15 to 35. You can even throw it 15 to 44, depending on how you break it down. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's younger individuals that don't think about cancer. They think they strain themselves, hit themselves, anything else that could be, but not cancer. And simply, you know, identifying a lump or an abnormality early on in stage one, it really can be managed with a 45-minute outpatient surgery and then monitored to make sure it doesn't come back. At later stages is when you have the higher treatment burdens and then, unfortunately, loss of life.
Well, other than what we're talking about, I mean, why do you think this is, in some cases, such a taboo topic for people to talk about? For, you know, and I don't want to put everything on the schools, because I don't think that schools should be responsible for teaching our kids everything, but you have health class, you talk about other things. Why not implement this? And is that part of what you're trying to do in schools across the United States?
Yeah, if we really could figure out what causes the stigma or causes the stigma to stick around, that'd be great. I mean, a large portion of our mission would be done, but there is a stigma. I've noticed that even just going into schools, so usually we pair with a breast cancer organization. They speak to the girls about breast cancer, and we speak to the guys about testicular cancer. And it was like my third year in one school in particular. And when we went to lunch, I said something to the ladies with breast cancer. I'm like, I have a chaperone with me all day long. Do you notice that? Like, it's my third year here. They know me, but I have someone with me. Like, I'm doing something wrong talking about testicles and testicular cancer, and yet you girls are fine, you don't have anybody with you. So that was like a real litmus test to me that you know, what's going on here? Why aren't we talking about this? It's just the body part, like we are any other cancer that exists.
Exactly. And I want to go back to my nephew, Jake Marcella. You know, he was out on the golf course and suffered some pretty severe back pain. And he noticed his golf shot, you know, had been off for a while. So he goes in, and not only does he have testicular cancer, but it has metastasized to his brain. And, you know, this poor kid, young kid, you know, it's one of those things where he just, you know, thought it was something else. And when they did the x-rays, they couldn't believe what they saw. And he fought so hard, and he shouldn't have made it so many times. And he had strokes. And, you know, it was just, and continues to just be a heartbreaking story of such a bright, young, vibrant man who lost his, not only lost his life, but his family lost their son. They lost, you know, their brother. And this doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, and unfortunately, those stories, you know, why not exact, repeat themselves over and over. And there was a young man at University of Maryland who thought he was sick, went to student health, and collapsed on the bus on the way back to his place. Ended up being diagnosed post-mortem or after death with the autopsy with advanced testicular cancer that had metastasized to his lungs. That's why he couldn't breathe. He wasn't sick. There's another young man that very good friends with his mom, and he got hit by a softball in the crotch, and it hurt, but the pain didn't go away. Mm. And then by Thanksgiving, well, I guess before Thanksgiving, he had some chest pains, muscular pain. And he thought, well, he was training to be a paramedic. Maybe he lifted a patient wrong. And by Thanksgiving, he was having difficulty breathing, but everyone was kind of sick around then, so he didn't think about it. In the beginning of December, he went into the hospital, was diagnosed with advanced testicular cancer, and unfortunately passed away at the beginning of January.
Unbelievable.
And his mom is, like, so upset that she didn't recognize, you know, that testicular symptoms with difficulty breathing and chest tenderness, you know, were signs of testicular cancer. And she, you know, I would say, she's told me, feels guilty that she wasn't able to identify it for her son.
Mm-hmm. So we all have a responsibility.
You know, education needs, yeah, education needs to be across the board, you know.
Right.
Not when I'm having difficulties doing my normal daily activities, let me go in. Ideally, you would find it's just a small lump on the testicle.
Right. You know, and I got to tell you, so my son, who was very, very close to Jake, he couldn't get a doctor's appointment fast enough. And he's 35. But here you go. It wasn't until, you know, he saw the devastation that this testicular cancer caused to his cousin that it woke him up.
Right, right. Personal experience goes a long way. And it's hard when individuals don't have that, you know, personal experience to get the message delivered to them and have that message stick.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Mike Craycraft, and he is a testicular cancer survivor and also the founder of the, it's not easy to say, folks, Testicular Cancer Society. I also want to give out your website, Mike, because you have a lot of great information on there. And so we'll give it out again before the end of the show. But if you could go to testicularcancersociety.org, that is Mike's website. And what is on your website when people go there, Mike? And what kind of tools do you have that people can use to learn more and perhaps even check themselves?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, for the otherwise healthy community that wants to learn about testicular cancer, we have some facts on there, as well as the ability to download our mobile app. We even sophomorically say you can just go to ballchecker.com to get it as well. We also have a text reminder system where you can sign up to get a text once a month. We'll remind you to do a self-exam and link to the instructions. We don't otherwise ever use your number. It's just that one text a month. But then for those that have been diagnosed or caregivers, we have resources, you know, for the just diagnosed and, you know, to try to get perspective and things like that. And then also for the caregivers, as well as, you know, what you need when you're going through the fight, including, you know, why finding at times expert centers. You know, testicular cancer, not every doctor is an expert, not every center is an expert. There's probably, you know, 20 places in the U.S. that really see a high number of patients and have tremendous experience. And in more advanced cases or in cases of surgical specialties needed, you know, we recommend that's the place to go. It's been shown to reduce mortality and morbidity.
You know, from my personal experience, and I don't want to get too far into this, but I also think that, and maybe I'm wrong, that men just have this problem with thinking, well, if something's broken, then, you know, it could break something else, if you know what I'm talking about. And does it, when you have testicular cancer, what are some of the potential negative outcomes?
Well, it really depends on what treatment you're going to be receiving is what the long-term sequela is going to be. Mm-hmm. If you're stage one and you're able to get by with just the removal of the one testicle, and just so people know, they take it out up through the groin. A lot of people think maybe they take it out through the scrotum and scares guys away from getting checked up, but that's not the case. You do have a slightly higher risk of hypogonadism or low testosterone. There can be some fertility issues going forward, but most guys are able to conceive if need be. Really, it's a temporary roadblock. Now, if you need chemotherapy and more advanced surgery, then you're talking mm-hmm. more long-term effects of ringing in the ears and numbness in the fingers and the toes and increased risk of cardiovascular disease and those kind of things.
Right. So it's case by case. And I know you're not a doctor, you're a pharmacist, but I just want to give people a little bit of a reality check out there. So again, so what do you know, you're a 401c3, right? You're a nonprofit organization.
Correct.
And a lot of people out there, you know, want to donate money, want to give to good causes, but you never see, if you're interested in donating when it comes to a nonprofit, you never see a testicular cancer person come up. You know, it's always, and not that these other nonprofits aren't very worthy of the money, but you got to do research, you got to do outreach, you've got, and those things cost money. I mean, fundraising, it sounds like, for your organization is a bit difficult.
It's probably one of the most challenging, yeah. I mean, the budget we operate on would probably flabbergast people for what we accomplish with that little amount of money, to be quite honest. Even our mobile app right now, we're getting ready to relaunch it. It was built at a give camp where we found some tech guys to help us for free, and I found one of the original guys, and he decided he would rebuild it for us for free, too. He has a company. You know, but otherwise, just building an app out is, you know, $30,000-$40,000.
Exactly.
Which for us is a lot of money. For other charities, it's, you know, not a big deal. But
well, I hope that if you keep up with the good work that, you know, the word will spread. So talk a little bit about the app. Is it up right now?
Yes, the app is up. The new version is coming out pretty soon. Actually, I got an email before I had a conversation with you, so I need to look at it. But basically, it just gives you a few quick facts about testicular cancer, shows you how to do a self-exam, and then the ability to set a monthly reminder. And then it, most importantly, is if you feel anything wrong, directs you to the doctor, or you can contact us, you know, simply by going to our website, calling us, texting us, calling us on WhatsApp, whatever's needed. We're certainly here to answer any questions and give perspective.
And that's ballchecker.com. I don't think I have to spell that.
No. It's the easiest way to get there. So yeah. It'll redirect to the page.
Right, right. And I got to tell you, these shouldn't be bad words, should they? We're doing a radio show, but and that's part of the problem. I don't know why my comfort level declines when I say ball checker. I don't know, you know, why it declines when we have subjects that are sensitive to this, but that's part of the problem, right?
Yeah, so actually in 2009, I went to London and we did what was called the testicle tour. And we walked around with 60 large, like a large ball on our back to raise awareness. And I met Dr. Chris Steele. Now, Dr. Chris Steele did a live testicular examination on ITV's like morning show in 1990 in London.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine that? Like,
no.
not behind a curtain, live.
Wow.
Everything's there, and he's feeling it to show you how to do it. And, you know, for some reason, we're just not there yet.
Well, it just shows you the cultural difference, and that's part of the problem, right? We can't be afraid of it. We've got to, you know, and you think about your target audience here. They're out there. You know, they're out there. It's just somebody has to say, we need to pay attention to this.
Yeah, with it being a leading cause of cancer in guys starting the age of 15, you really need to reach them when they're 13, 14 years old to make sure that they're aware. And when it's not being mentioned or talked about in school, it's kind of difficult. And then trying to find where they are and deliver a message that sticks can be difficult too. Now, I think it's much different if you have, you know, us saying it, your parents reiterate it to you, you hear it from a teacher or a sports coach or mm-hmm. a band director. You know, it takes more than one time, right? We say that in marketing. It's not the first time you see the ad. It's the third time it makes right. you go buy the car. So, you know, if we could just normalize the conversations and have more people speaking about it, then I think the messages would stick. And it's, you know,
it will.
To be honest, from us, we're not necessarily the best, right? If you have a son, you know what's going to work with him. You know, is he going to like humor? Does he like serious? Does he, you know, if it's, he's scared, he'll act. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to deliver messages trying to figure out, you know, how to reach the masses and get it to stick.
Exactly. Well, you've had some fun with Manscaped. Talk about that partnership, and you talk about, you know, the perfect outlet to help spread the word of checking yourself for testicular cancer. You talk about having some fun with things. That's a perfect example, right?
Yeah. Manscaped has been absolutely amazing, and can't even really describe what they've done for us and meant for us. Their sense of humor, they have incredible influencers that mention us and raise awareness. You know, our campaign that we did with them at one point reached 124 million people. The past 2 years, we've actually co-branded a trimmer with them. So you purchase the trimmer, inside is special information about testicular cancer. And we have some more exciting things coming up, but it's just having a company like Manscaped to partner with, and believe me, if we need anything, we can ask them and they'll do their best to provide it. It's just been amazing and really made us much better. More people listen to Manscaped when they talk about testicular cancer or follow them on Twitter. Not everybody necessarily wants to follow the Testicular Cancer Society on Twitter. So.
Right. Well, you know, and I should have asked you this, Mike, before I talked about the partnership, but talk to people who might not be aware of what Manscaped does.
Yeah, so Manscaped started out as basically the below-the-waist groomer. So they sell trimmers for manscaping.
Yeah. Okay. Let's stop
so,
there.
and they do much more than that now, but that's what they originally started out as. So definitely the right target audience, and you know, they use humor and you know, have cool messaging. So it helps a lot to have someone that knows how to talk to the same target audience and get the message out.
Absolutely, and I'm sure you're so appreciative of that partnership, but there's got to be more down the road there, right? There's got to be more people across the United States that want to embrace this and help you spread the message. Again, the website is testicularcancersociety.org. If you want more information, maybe you want to make a donation, but you know, and from a marketing standpoint, which is my full-time job, right? The other thing is, Mike, that once somebody of notoriety, you know, unfortunately is diagnosed, let's use Lance Armstrong for, you know, an example. He was standing up riding his bike because, you know, he just thought something else was wrong. He was sore from being on the seat. I don't know. But those are the kinds of situations and people that really raise the profile on things like testicular cancer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, several years ago, Chad Bettis, a pitcher for the Colorado Rockies, ended up relapsing and having to go through chemotherapy. And, you know, it was a huge story. We were getting calls all over the place to do interviews, and he did a tremendous job of raising awareness. But, you know, he also can't do it forever, you know, and the media also loses attention, right? The news
right.
cycle changes,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, what's the next celebrity that has something wrong? You know, it shouldn't take that to be able to deliver the message, you know, unfortunately. And we can think of creative ways. You know, we have people ask, what can we do? And the first thing we ask them is, what do you like to do? You know, we'll take whatever you're good at or you like to do and somehow figure out a way for it to help the cause. We don't just say, well, here's a stack of brochures. We drop them off at doctor's offices because you're probably not going to want to volunteer for us very long. But if you're doing what you like, you know, we will certainly come up with something creative to make it help for good as well.
Right, because it takes an army. And you look at these, for example, breast cancer organizations. I mean, a lot of them, you know, started small and have worked their way through other soldiers and survivors across the country to help spread the word. That's what it's all about, because no young man like Jake Marcella, no young man who's a survivor like you should ever have to go through this. There's just no reason for it. And as parents, grandparents, you know, whatever your association is with the men in the target audience age group, which you said was, again, what to what?
15 to 35 is the leading cause of cancer.
15 to 35. You know, and I'll share another personal story. I remember when with my ex-husband, when we were done having children and he went in to get fixed, which his Italian parents were horrified and mad at me for, because you don't touch that part in the Italian family. But anyway, that was what we were doing. And it wasn't until he went in for that he was also diagnosed with testicular cancer. So this is So this is a young man, you know, 32 years old, and this is also Jake's uncle, right? So we lose Jake, you know, at 29. You know, my husband, I kind of saved his life, because that's when they found it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a Scottish TV personality, and his girlfriend, wife at the time, took their dog to the vet. And the vet said, you know, your dog's testicles really hard. It has testicular cancer. It needs to come out. It's not the celebrity's Charlie Borman. It's a public story. But the wife or girlfriend at the time, I can't remember, says, well, Charlie's is like that too. And the vet's like, well, he needs to go get checked out. It shouldn't be serendipitously discovered and diagnosed. Mm-hmm. It really shouldn't. I mean, maybe extremely rare cases, but... You know, if you're checking yourself on a regular basis and you notice any changes, notify the doctor. Certainly, the earlier it's caught, the easier it is. And we talk about the burden of the cured. You know, testicular cancer has like the longest survivorship of all cancers outside of pediatric cancer, because you're diagnosed so early. And then there is the potential to face, you know, 4 or 5 decades of sequela afterwards. And so, and able to reduce that burden of the cured, it's really not having to intervene that much, and that's early detection and treatment.
Well, and you just kind of brought up another subject. You know, maybe it's your partner. Maybe somebody notices something that's not normal, you know, and it's like that old, this is the big saying in marketing, if you see something, say something.
Yeah, and numerous times it's not the guy, you know, mm-hmm. who has the testicular cancer that discovers it.
Okay, so we'll leave it at that. So,
Perfect. Okay, so
again, if you're interested in the app, ballchecker.com, the website, if you want more information, depending on the situation, it's all there, testicularcancersociety.org. And Mike Kraft is the founder of this organization and is out there doing a great job across the United States, you know, open to, maybe you've got a group or organization that you want him to come speak to. You know, whatever, maybe you want to give to an organization a donation. So these are all perfect opportunities to make a difference and to save lives, because that's really what it's all about. So we just have about a minute and a half, Mike, and I want to leave that to you to kind of give me your wrap-up message. What is it that you want people that are listening to this program to really think about?
Well, one is normalizing the conversation about testicular cancer. Breast cancer faced this 30, 40 years ago and was able to be overcome, so it's not an insurmountable task. But we have to realize that if caught and treated early, it's basically 100% survivable and very low long-term sequela. And so just making sure that these young individuals, you know that cancer does exist at their age, and this is the leading cause, and be aware of yourself and body. And if you find something abnormal, say something. If you don't know who to say it to, call us. We'll help you.
Right. And like you said, there's so many different ways that they can reach out to your organization, and it's confidential, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't share unless you tell us it's fine. So.
Right. So if you want to save a life, maybe this, you know, this was a little bit of a sensitive subject. I don't really look at it that way, but, maybe you can make a difference and maybe you can help somebody save a life. Again, the website is testicularcancersociety.org. Well, hats off to you, Mike Kraft, for, you know, taking what was not a great situation and turning it into your life's mission to really spread awareness. And hopefully we'll be hearing more about this topic everywhere very, very soon.
Well, thank you for having me, and thanks to everyone for listening as well.
Absolutely. Well, thanks to you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use. Again, I'm Ann Baldwin, and we look forward to having you back here again next weekend on WTIC News Talk 1080.